So, Chayev Inish Lebesume Bepuraya Adelo Yada. Bain, Ur Haman, Lebarach Mordechai. Rabba teaches us a very famous din in Masechta Megillah, Dav Zayin, Amud Bet. But Pashtus, Rabba teaches us an astounding halacha that there's a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. So drunk, that you cannot tell the difference between two things which are otherwise complete opposites. Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. I didn't say anything yet. You cannot ask a question.
It was a question I came in with.
You still can't ask it yet. So, the Gemara continues. The Gemara continues and tells us an amazing story. You have a shocking statement of the Gemara, only to be followed up by a more surprising... and astounding story. So the Gemara tells us about a chiyuv to get drunk on Purim, and the Gemara continues and says the following story. Rabba v'Rebbe Zeira Ovdu Sudas Purim Bahade Hadadi. They had Purim Suda together. Two friends, two Rabbanim, what could be better? Ibsum. They got drunk. What could be better? Come Rabba Shachte l'Rebbe Zeira. Not so better. Rabba apparently in his drunken stupor kills Rebbe Zeira. Lamachar Boy Rachmi Ba'achye. So Rabba realizes what he's done. Oh my gosh, Gewalt. He davens with tremendous kavana, and he's successful in resuscitating and bringing Rebbe Zeira back to life. The Gemara continues. Lishana, next year. Amar Lei. Rabba says again to Rebbe Zeira, Nesi Mar V'Navid Sudas Purim Bahad Adare. Come back to my house. We should do Purim Suda together. To which point Rebbe Zeira responds, Amar Lei, in one of the great lines in all of Shas, Lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachei shenisa. They're not necessarily going to be a miracle every year. Meaning, what are you, crazy? I can't take a chance. You killed me last year. Come on back. So that's Ad Kan the Gemara. A halacha, a story, what's going on? Yes?
That's right. Rabba said it, and it was
Rabba. Rabba, yes. Zion of a bet. Gentlemen, these kind of questions, you got to pay attention and afterwards get them. We cannot.
No,
2/3 into the year, you cannot be asking these kind of questions. Yes?
Why? What is the premise of
good.
The original ruling?
So, this is why you actually have to wait and let the shear breathe, because we're going to talk about it. This is why I said you got to wait. Got to wait, okay? Let's let the shear breathe like a good wine. Let's let the shear breathe, okay? So first of all, it's worth noting that the Maharsha, in his commentary on the Gemara, the Maharsha says you cannot take the Gemara literally. Which part of the Gemara? The killing part. Says Maharsha, it can't be. Okay, of course, Rabba did not kill Rabbi Zeira. It can't be. But then the Gemara says Shachte. Doesn't that come from the Lashon of Shecht? Which slaughter? So the Maharsha says it meant slightly more metaphorically that it refers to the fact that he was forcing wine down his throat. Much better! That's the Maharsha's addition to the sugya. But again, let's for... He brought him back... Oh, you mean the brought him back to life thing? That's a great question. Yeah. Good question.
So the next year there won't be a miracle. What's the miracle of
blood and joke? Fair enough. There's all sorts of diukim and discussions in Mefarshim about the Gemara, but the premise of our shir is going to be either that it was meant literally, or even if it wasn't meant literally, clearly the suggestive language of the Gemara is clearly coming to tell us something. And really what I want to do is base the body of the shir on the following two questions. The first is, on some level, I'll rephrase what might have been Rabbi Kaplan's question, which is, what is going on? Why should there be this ideal, right? Why should there be this idea, this notion that we should drink, let alone get drunk on Purim? And you could ask that in a more minimal or a more maximal way. More minimally, you could just say halachically, we don't have this halacha by any other holiday. Right? There's an idea maybe of having a revius of yayin, of having something to drink, a cup, but why should there be this special halacha? Presumably it relates to simcha, okay, but we have a mitzvah of simcha on all the gimel regalim, yet we don't have a halacha of chayav inish l'besumi by any of the regalim. So why should, that's, I would say, a narrow way of asking it. The more maximal way of asking it is, what? How could it be? We have so many examples. I don't just mean intuition and common sense. We have examples in Tanakh and Chazal of the very negative attitude that the Torah has towards drunkenness. How could it be that of all things, there's a halacha to get drunk? It just, it seems to just be completely, completely counterintuitive. That's, I guess, the first question which we have to keep in mind. The second question, I think, is a much more learning kind of question, which is just methodologically, we don't have this that often, but given that we have it, I think it's clearly a question that has to be analyzed, which is, what is the relationship between the din and the story? Right? It can't be a complete coincidence that on one daf gemara, literally juxtaposed one to the other, you have this din, chayiv inish lebesumei, that a person has to get drunk, and the very next breath, the Gemara says, and a story about two rabbis who got drunk and one killed the other and had to be a miracle, etc., etc. Right? Whether that's meant metaphorically or literally, it's like right afterwards. Like, what did the Gemara intend by placing that story immediately after the din? Right? Now, clearly, how we answer the second question might also impact the first question. But they really are two separate questions. So, in terms of the question of why should... So if you want to know philosophically what's the... Not, that, I think, really was your question, if I'm not mistaken. That I'm not addressing. This is a halacha b'yin shir, not a machshava b'yin shir. But it's a good question. If I'm not mistaken, there's a mesora of a traditional shir that Rav Moshe gives every year, where he speaks about the deeper meaning of drinking and what the kedusha could be. Lobby Eli, make sure he gives you that shir, and then let me know what he says. But there's a lot of literature on that. I'm not dismissing it. It's just not going to be our focus. However, in a more basic realm of, even just halachically, like where would Chazal have gotten this from? So that a lot of halachists, a lot of poskim do ask that question. And already in Rishonim you have an answer given, and it's also quoted in the Bir Halacha in the name of the Elia Rabba, who was one of the earlier commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, that make the point that l'cha'ora, what's going on here is that we're using wine or drinking as a way of specifically recalling and therefore thanking Hashem for the miracle of Purim. How so? Because many, if not all, of the pivotal moments in the took place in the context of a suda with drinking. So the two big pivots in the story are the original celebratory sudos with Vashti, where in his drunken... I wouldn't say stupor, but clearly lacking clear judgment, and you know they were drinking for all these days. Vashti gets killed. That opens the door for Esther. And then, of course, we have towards the end of the Megillah with the sudos of Esther inviting Haman and Achashverosh. So say the Rishonim already, and again, it's in Bir Halacha, quotes it from Achronim. Given the fact that we have this connection, that may be the answer. The Brisker Rav, the Griz, is quoted as saying because of the fact that the Megillah specifically refers to Purim as Yemei Mishte V'Simcha. We don't have that phrase analogously in the Torah about the Yom Tovim. They may have a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, but we don't have a day of Mishte. And the Brisker Rav points out that whereas on other Yom Tovim, we have to have a Revias Yayin, a Simcha El Babasar B'Yayin, but that's a vehicle. That's why they don't really need to drink that much, because it's just a vehicle to bring us closer to Hashem, but if that's not the goal. But the fact that about Megillah, in Megillah it says, Purim is Yemei Mishta, so he says, no, the mitzvah is the drinking. Not that it's a vehicle to something else. That is the mitzvah. But again, that wouldn't really answer the question. That would beg the question. So why Yemei Mishta? So again, that answer may be because of the unique and pivotal role that these type of celebratory, lavish, alcohol-induced feasts had on the story. But none of this addresses the broader philosophical or other question, which is how could it be? How could it be that something that's clearly so frowned upon, not only by common sense and human experience, but by the Torah, by Tanakh, by Chazal, all of a sudden becomes elevated into a mitzvah? So that's the more general question. The more specific way, again, of asking that is, how does the story relate to the din? And here, I think, if one takes a review and a survey of the Rishonim, we will find three approaches in Rishonim, modified, codified by various poskim, and that will hopefully give us a sense of what we need to do, what we shouldn't be doing, etc. That's our roadmap for much of the rest of this year. Before we get to that, any questions about what we've said so far? Because if we haven't said it so far, we might still say it. So then hold that question. So questions on what we've said so far, yes? Okay, good. Anybody have any questions? Okay, so let's keep on moving. So, in the Rishonim, on this sugya, perhaps the most famous Rishon, who you previously never heard of, was Rabbeinu Ephraim. Who's Rabbeinu Ephraim? A guy. Rabbi, by some of the other Rishonim that you have heard of. The Ran and the Baal Hamor, both in the back of the Gemara on the pages of the Rif, both quote Rabbeinu Ephraim. And Rabbeinu Ephraim says, you just got to open up your eyes and see what Chazal are doing. The Gemara has a din, Chai Vin Shabasume, and the next breath tells us about all the bad stuff and dangers that could happen from drinking. What do you think the purpose of that story was, says Rabbeinu Ephraim? Obviously, the purpose of the story is to negate the whole din of the whole din. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's the maskana of the Gemara. In essence, the Gemara started off with Amar Rava, Machai Vishal Basume. That was at first glance. Sounds, you know, again, maybe the reasons we've described, or some other philosophical reasons, whatever the reason is, there is a mitzvah to drink. But it doesn't pass the experience test. In our experience, this just doesn't work out. Not only because there could be teenagers, or for that matter, middle-aged men who are blowing off steam who drink recklessly. Robin Rav Zera had the worst problems possible. So given that fact, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, apparently, he says, the maskun of the Gemara, I'm not against the Gemara, chas v'shalom. Chazal told me to drink, I would drink. But Chazal themselves are telling me that this was only the Havamina. Quote this Gemara as an excuse to drink. A, it's an excuse, but B, it's a misreading of the Gemara, says Rabbeinu Ephraim. This is not a popular shita in yeshivas. But this is the Rabbeinu Ephraim quoted by the Ran and the Baal HaMa'or. There are other Rishonim, the Kolbo, the Or Chos Chaim, who seem to say something similar. The Or Chos Chaim talks about shikrus, real getting drunk, is completely usher. He says there's no ein avera gadol mizu. There's no greater sin than getting drunk because it leads to murder. Less commonly, he talks about licentiousness, sexual improprieties, which is, for example, I ain't every college campus in America, Canada, and Europe. Of course we know what drinking leads to, right? So given that fact, says the Kabbalah, of course, Or Chos Chaim, of course it can't be that that's a good thing. And the Gemara is just giving a story, you shouldn't think, that somehow the Jews or B'nai Torah or even rabbis are immune to this. If you drink, bad things are going to happen. This is just the way it goes. Better not to get drunk. That's the first Shita in Rishonim. So it's a Shita in Rishonim about the Psak, but more importantly, more fascinatingly, where did Rabbeinu Ephraim, where did the Baal HaMor get it from? They got it from the story, basically neutralizing the Gemara. Yeah, Jacob.
According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, he was not getting drunk on Purim is completely usur, or even like drinking on Purim is like nothing.
So he holds there's no mitzvah. So getting drunk is for sure usur, but you'll say, okay, but is there a kiyum? Is there something in drinking a little bit? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Sounds like there's nothing. Okay. Sounds like there's nothing. Yes, Austin.
Two things. One, who said there's no greater sin than this?
The Or Chos Chaim.
And also, can you say that the Rabba and Rav Zera were first generation of Aram, right?
Okay, therefore.
And they were like closer to the Harbon, and therefore like there was something special about this redemption thing that.
I don't think this is connected at all. I don't think it's connected at all. I think there. No, I don't think. I'm not even sure about your history, but it doesn't matter. I don't think it's connected. Okay, let's go on. So that's the first Shita in Rishonim. The second Shita in Rishonim seems to be diametrically opposed. If you take a look at the. Yes, please.
So does that mean that the Ran and Baal HaMor agree with it, or they bring it and then say their own thing?
No, no, they seem to agree with it.
They agree with it, okay.
The Rif and the Rush, the Halacha, quote the halacha of Chai Vin Shlomasume without any equivocation. They don't cough, they don't blink, they don't look up at the ceiling.
They don't quote the story?
No. So what is that? That apparently they felt that the story had no impact on the din. So what's the purpose of the story? Either kacha, it proves that you're supposed to get drunk, which is the first half of the story before things go haywire, and if you wanted to be, you know, motherly about it, you could say it's teaching us that be responsible when you drink. And it's teaching us a lesson to be careful. Look, bad things can happen, even for great chachamim, you know, sometimes you can't get saved from things. But halachically, does it change the din? Not at all. Hay l'chudei kai, the din is the din, the story is the story, maybe it's metaphorical, maybe it's literal, it doesn't matter. The din is the din. And there, as we'll see, there are poskim who, and many yeshivas, who clearly take this approach. Yes?
Doesn't the last part of the story also teach that you should drink from the fact that Rava asked Rabbi Zera, do you want to drink again?
That was, I think, what Yoni said before. Correct, yes. He used that to upslug the Marsha. You gotta be quick to stay with Yoni. Okay? Yes?
So far, does that mean it's better nitrogen?
You have to tell me. So far, you need to listen.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Chief Rabbi of Darkenu, everyone's counting on you. Okay. All right. Rabbi Wallach Shlita. Okay, let's continue. There's a third opinion in Rishonim, which does not explicitly address the story, but may be understood as a way of interpreting in a middle position. And that is that perhaps, the story didn't come to reject the din. We don't ignore the story. Rather, we use the story to modify and moderate the din. Who might learn this way? Well, for starters, the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tezvav, says you're chayev lehishtaker. He uses the word which is very clearly means to get drunk. I didn't even get into the fact because we didn't have time. There's a whole discussion about whether livsume really means drunk. It doesn't mean drunk. But clearly the Rambam, and other Rishonim before the Rambam, but the Rambam clearly understood it to mean that way. The Rambam says, chayv lehishtaker. You have to get drunk, shikrus, that's the shorish we're familiar with for drunkenness. The Rambam does use that verb. But then the Rambam says you should do that, and then what? Until you fall asleep. Now, where is falling asleep? What does that do with anything? That was never in the Gemara. That is a chiddush. That is a chiddush, gentlemen, that is a chiddush of the Rambam. Now what did he mean by that? Is that somehow an alternate of the Gemara? Is that something else? So if you take a look in, it's perhaps in the Ramah or even later Rishonim, but I would say it's implicit in terms of making the connection in the Aruch HaShulchan, where they interpret that what the Rambam is getting at is that is an interpretation and modification of the story. That is to say, what happens when you're sleeping? You cannot tell the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. You're sleeping. But clearly, you need much less alcohol to make yourself drowsy and take a nap than you would to be so stone cold drunk that even awake you couldn't tell the difference between two such extremes. That is to say that apparently the Aruch HaShulchan and perhaps others hint at it, but I think the Aruch HaShulchan might be the clearest, that the Rambam or those who hold like him understand that the story is coming to modify. You do have to drink, but you shouldn't drink so much that you would even just be stumbling around babbling silliness. You just drink enough that you have to rest. And when you're resting, then you'll be Adlo Yada. So there is a din called Adlo Yada. The Rambam accepts that, even though he doesn't use the words. But they suggest the Rambam means that, it's just that you fulfill that through sleeping. You don't have to fulfill that through being, you know, drunk. You can do that by drinking some amount that at least requires you to go to sleep. Now that might be more than one cup of wine or something. That might be a decent amount of drink. But it's clearly going to be less for every person, relatively speaking, than it would be for that person to be completely babbling, kind of drunk. The Kolbo, I've alluded to Kolbo in Hilchos Megillah, Simen Mem Hei, he doesn't say the thing about drinking, but he says something which might be parallel to that. He says, what should you do? You should be, after telling us how usur it is to get drunk and how what's the worst aver ever, Isr Gamor, Ein Lecha Avera Gadola Mizu, it's a terrible thing. Then says the Kolbo, ach, what should you do? Sheyishte Yoser Milimudo. A phrase that becomes famous later, but it's I think maybe the earliest source is the Kolbo. He says you should just drink ma'at, a little bit more than usual. Now again, that's a relative amount because it means more. But if you're like most people who don't drink at all, so one cup is already more than, you know, limudo. And if you're from Paris and you have a cup of wine with dinner, so have two cups. And if you're a Chabad, you drink more. You need to drink more, clearly. Okay. Fair enough. Right? So, again, where did he get this from? That's not in the Gemara. Where did he get this from? Or for that matter, the Meiri also starts off with, there's no mitzvah whatsoever, frivolity, nonsense, licentiousness, clearly that can't be the mitzvah. Rather, you're supposed to drink in order that the joy should bring about an avas Hashem and a hodah, thanksgiving for the miracles. You know, where do you get this from? Moreover, some of the other Rishonim have complete different creative views of what Adlo Yada is. So we have some of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Yerucham, and others who say, well, maybe if you do the math, you'll figure out that the gematria of Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai is how much? 502. Both of them are 502, wouldn't you know? So he says you have to drink enough that you can't tell the difference, not between who was the good guy and who's the bad guy, until you can't figure out the gematrias of those two words. Now again, that requires, you know, that might need more than one little cup of wine, but clearly it needs much less wine than is indicative, I would say, in the initial, again, the initial part of the Gemara is that two opposites, the hero and the villain, you are so drunk you can't tell the difference between the hero and the villain. Right? That is really, you got to be plastered. To not be able to figure out gematria, I mean, you could just be a typical high school yeshiva kid who doesn't know gematria. Then you don't need to drink anything. Right? I'm not going to give a test now here. Who knows how much tough is, you know, or how much the pay is. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. But the point is, you have to concentrate a little bit to do the math and the gematrias. So, again, where I just want to point out, take a question for a second, Gabriel. But all these Rishonim, where are they getting this from? None of this is in the Gemara. So, L'cha'ora, the answer is, just like what we said for the Rambam, that they're understanding that the story is coming to modify. Don't take the din black and white. Don't take the din simplistically, which would require really extreme inebriation. Rather, understand it, which requires maybe some drinking. We're not rejecting drinking. This is not Rabbeinu Ephraim. But, again, not that all these are the same, but they all might be viewing the role of the story as the same, which is, it causes us to reinterpret or pause in terms of how we understand what the original din of Chayav Nishlam Sumi is. Yes, Gabriel.
Isn't that the exact opposite, though? Because the Gemara says, as well, yeah, the Bain are on the protocol, and if you can calculate the gematria, then it seems like they're the same, because they equal each other.
It's a Chiddush. Again, I'm not sure what counts in a din like this as like...
Because originally you think they're different, and then...
Correct. It's not the Pashas of the Gemara at all. That's for sure. That's for sure, yes.
So let's say I was like a math genius. Does that mean I have to get like plastered, essentially?
I know you're looking for excuses, Zach. That's Zach Beer from Woodmere, New York. Anyway, but... again, it's not exactly complicated, but yeah, and doesn't. Again, I want to stress, Rabbeinu Yerucham requires you to drink. Clearly, you're going to have to drink a little bit to get to the point that you can't understand that. We didn't get to Halacha L'maisi yet or anything like that. I'm just saying, I'm only mentioning these shitas because then we have this interesting phenomenon of the story and the din, and we're trying to understand what is the kind of interplay between them. Again, whenever you have anybody reinterpreting the Gemara in ways that either are minimizing the understanding of the Gemara or the application, so it's possible, I can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but it's certainly possible that what's motivating these Rishonim is the fact, you guys with us? What's motivating us is the fact that we have this story coming right on the heels of the din of the Gemara. So, this is what we have in the Rishonim. Again, that third group is a much broader group. I'm putting an amalgam of Shitos together. But basically, we had the three Shitos. You have Rabbeinu Ephraim, and those who follow him will say the story is coming to reject the din. We have the Rush and the Riff and others who seem to ignore any real implications of the story. The din is the din is the din. And then we have the third group of cholent, of Shitos, all of which seem to have somewhat different or less requirement of drinking, even though they still have the drinking if they're not Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay? So what is the din? How do we paskin? So if you take a look in the tour, this is in Siman Tuf Reish, Sadi Hey, the tour quotes the din, period, you gotta drink. Now this is not a shock to us, since we know who was the tour's father? The Rush. And the Rush, we said, was like the Riff, one of the people who also paskin the din straight. So the tour seems to be following his father and the Riff. We know that the tour also used two on one He had the Rishonim, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, and he says, I'm always going to follow the two against the one. So even though the Rambam requires you to drink, but the Rambam has this modification with the sleeping thing, which clearly is less drinking, the Torah just goes with the straight din like the Gemara, which is from his father, the Rosh, and from the Rif. Who follows the Torah? Well, among others, the Shulchan Aruch. None other than the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch also, Siman Tav Reish Sadi Hei, seems to say straightforward that you have to drink until you know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. In the Shaar Tzion and other, a lot of various Achronim are quoted as, you know, kind of spelling this out in great detail. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Shaar Tzion quotes are of Yaakov Emdin, who makes it clear that, you know, this is not some, you know, vague thing or whatever, but rather this is you have to really get drunk. What's interesting is I want to bring a little lumdus to drinking, if I could. A little lumdus to drinking. What do I mean by that? When you read basic din in the Gemara or the other things that we've seen, when you see the way Rav Yaakov Emdin or others quote this in Shulchan Aruch, it certainly sounds like this is a result-oriented mitzvah. Right? What word in the Gemara, the din in the Gemara, the opening line of the Gemara, what word would be a proof to that? Excellent, Mordechai, excellent. Adilda, right? The focus is on the result, which we're equating with being pretty inebriated, that you're so confused about the hero and the villain. What's interesting is that there's at least one or two, I think, Achronim, who have a very interesting and different understanding of this din. If you take a look at the Sfas Emes, not in his Perash al HaTorah, but in his Chidushim al HaShas, on the Gemara Daf Zayin. Moreover, there's a sefer called the Emek Bracha. Emek Bracha is the collection of Chidushim that was written by someone named Aryeh Pomeranchik, who was a contemporary / Talmud of the Brisker Rav, of Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik de Griz. And in this sefer, Emek Bracha, he quotes Rav Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musar movement. As far as I could tell, I'm putting them together. I think that Yisrael Salanter and the Sfas Emes are really saying the same thing. What do they say? Something fascinating. That Ad Delo Yada is not the Chiyuv, it's not the goal, it's the Patur. Now what do they mean by that? What they mean is, the mitzvah isn't to be drunk. Rather, the mitzvah is to drink. Okay, so my next question is, how much? You tell me to blow the shofar. My next question is, how much? How many? You tell me to shake a lulav. Okay, what do I have to do? What does it require? Right? At what point? Do I have to shake all day? I shake once. Like, we have a shiur, right? We have a certain, we want to quantify mitzvahs. Right? That's, you know, halacha 101. So how much is the shiur? I have to drink. So how much? So says the Sfas Emes and Yisrael Salanter, you have to drink. Not to get drunk, that's not the goal. But you have to drink. You'll say, okay, I already had a cup. Am I putter? No, not yet. I had two cups. Am I putter? No, not yet. But what am I putter? When you don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Now, at the end of the day, I'm not sure if you're going to drink more or less between the two different approaches. You might drink as much or more the second time. But it's certainly a completely different focus. The focus is not the goal. There's no goal to get drunk. Chas v'shalom. Once you're drunk, then you can't. You know, you can't do anything productive. The goal is that it's supposed to be a yom mishta. There's a the process is the mitzvah. There's no goal of getting drunk. Rather, the mitzvah is to drink. It's just that you're never putter unless you're incapacitated. What would come out from this is that, let's say at some point, you know, you got an early start. You go home, you say, Mom, I can't drive around the Shalchmanos. It's a mitzvah, it's Yom Mishnah, right? And with your sunny bag and your toasted bagel, your little breakfast after Megillah reading, you go for the first cup, right? And it's by 12 o'clock, you are sloshed, right? So you just chill out, you have some black coffee, maybe you take your nap, but by 3 o'clock, you sober up. According to this, you're chayv again, because it's a Yom Shel Mishnah. You have to drink. You can't, if it's a goal, ad lo yada, I reached that point. Yetzer zayin, I fulfilled the mitzvah. But according to this, no, the mitzvah is to drink. when you were inebriated, you're potter. But if you would re-sober up, you'd become chayiv again. This is interesting, a little lumdus to the drinking. A little lumdus, right? Is it a din in the process? Is it a din in the result? We'll get to that. We're going to get excellent question, Austin. How does this relate to other mitzvos? Excellent. All adkan is poskim that take the first approach. Yes, a question on what we just said?
Yeah. If you say that according to Sosemis and the Shemek Abracha, that the mitzvah is to drink and therefore if you get drunk, you better drink, but whatever, why would that mean you're drunk and you're drinking and you already did the mitzvah, which was to drink?
The mitzvah is to drink all day unless you are drunk. It's a yom mishteh. Yom mishteh v'simcha. That's what it says. Yes, that's true. Yeah, you could have. Mordechai, you're right. At least in Lomdus, Mordechai, conceptually, you're right. One could accept their premise and still say, once you've rung the bell, you ring the bell. I just think it's at least possible. Go back and check their language. I think it might be doing in at least one of them, but I think it's logically possible in both that you'd be richayiv. But even if you don't accept that last point, it's still a completely different focus. And is ad lo yada the chiyuv, the goal, or is it the patur? Yes, Gabriel.
Are you the commandment over your drink?
Yes. So he's saying, what would be unique about that? Fair enough. So it's interesting. If you take a look in the Sfas Emes, if I remember correctly, he does not really allude to that. It sounds like it's a unique din. When you look in the Emek Bracha, when he quotes the Slanter, it's in one of them, unless I'm being confused. But one of them kind of makes that point. You're how much are you chayav to drink until you're stuck here, and then you're potter kapotter b'kol mitzvos. So that at least one of them quotes it, and they don't see that as a disproof. They just make that point implicitly. Yeah.
Has there been a friend? Which one is he? Is he from Ashkenaz or is he?
Who was Rabbeinu Ephraim? I'm not. I don't 100% know who he was, to be honest.
There's two options.
Because how does that matter? I mean, it's important to know. I should know.
The Talmud of the Rift, so it'd be kind of weird.
Oh, you did a search on which who's Rabbeinu Ephraim?
It's like the Talmud, like friend of the Rift. Yeah, one is Talmud friend of the Rift, one is the.
And then who's the second one?
One is the Baltus of Poet.
Probably the first one.
But he's put him by the Ron of all Mar.
So there for what?
More likely maybe that he'd be a
best friend. Saying, yeah, the Ron was. Yes, that's what I said. The Talmud of the Rift. That's what I said.
Right.
Okay, quick. Yes.
If this is meant to mention it in the four mitzvot of Purim.
So the this is included in the mitzvot of Suda, but we're gonna have to get to that.
Have a Suda without having alcohol.
So that's all the first shita in the poskim following the first shita in Rishonim that. I'm sorry. I did the order in the opposite. So that shita and poskim is you got to drink, and the pashtus is either as a goal or as a process. But inebriation is definitely part of something. There's a middle position in poskim which you find already in the Rama, right? The Shulchan Aruch just paskens chayav b'nishlo besume, says the Rama. There are other ways to do this, and the Rama basically synthesizes. The Rama combines the Kolbo and the Rambam. Kolbo says you should drink Yoser milimudo, ma'at, a little bit more than usual. And the Rambam had said, yishtaker ad she'a yored mishanos, until you have to go to sleep. So the Ramah takes half. The Ramah says you should drink a little bit more than usual and go to sleep. He takes out the Rambam's really getting drunk, but he does include the Rambam sleeping. Drink a little bit more than usual. Now, presumably, if you just have a cup of wine and you usually never have that, that is not going to make you drowsy. But there are people, my Rebbe being one of them, Rabbi Willig, he takes a drink and then he goes to sleep. Not because he was forced into exhaustion by the one cup of wine, which is much more than he has any other day of the year, but because that's how he understands the Ramah. You should drink. Why drink? Zecher l'neis, remembers the fact that wine was part of the miracle, and then you take a nap, because that is the fulfillment of ad lo yada. That is the shita of the Ramah. And if you take a look at the Bir Hagra, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch there. So the Gra, excuse me, the Shulchan Aruch quoted the mitzvah of Chayav Nishlo Besumei, and on that comment of the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra quotes, he's mitzayin, all sorts of gemaras that talk about the evils of getting drunk. So it's plausible, and it has been suggested, that the Gra probably also holds like some version of the Ramah, because he's going out of his way to point out all the dangers, where the Shulchan Aruch seemed to just be very unequivocal. The Gra may himself be alluding to the fact that the Ramah is really the proper ruling, and he quotes the Gemara, which seems to go against the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkat and Hay, not the Yeshiva world's favorite Mishnah Berurah, I promise you. But if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha, you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, they all seem to conclude in one form or another like this model view. Have a little, you know, whether you sleep or not sleep is a detail, but the mitzvah is to drink a little bit more. Why would you drink a little bit more? Because of the central role that Yain had in the miracle. But to really get drunk, they seem to be pretty much against this, as is in the Ramah. The Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash, who lived in the late 17th century, if I'm not mistaken, the Pri Chadash writes already in his day that society's decline and the Yerida Sadoros, lowering of the generations, therefore he thinks it's proper to follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim. But you should drink a little bit more than usual. So it sounds like he's kind of hedging. In other words, he didn't just say, therefore, don't drink anything. But again, really, in all seriousness, I'm a pretty much of a teetotaler. I'm not into alcohol at all, in case you can't tell. Certainly 364 days a year, I'm not into alcohol, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, who's going to, you know, if really you never drink and you have one little cup of wine or something, clearly you'd have to be real extremist to think that that's dangerous. Right, so it sounds like he's saying, listen, we have a problem, things are getting out of hand again. He was writing then. That's before people had cars and like weirdly ways to hurt themselves or other people, chas v'shalom. But he says, people, things are getting out of control, people are misbehaving. He says, it's just, we can't do this properly, in essence, he says. So, better we should go like Rabbeinu Ephraim. But if you can have a, you know, say, but he doesn't say, therefore it's usher. Why would it be usher to have one cup of wine? I mean, what would be the basis of such an isser? So he says, you know, the Rashid doesn't say you should drink, okay, have one cup, have a little more than usual. But basically, he's kind of oscillating between the extreme rejection, based on his view of his current society, and this middle position, which he kind of sort of accepts. And the Prima Gadim and other poskim in Shulchan Aruch also seem to take this. You have, if you want to add up the shitas in Shulchan Aruch and the poskim, the majority, by far, I think, line up in some version of this middle approach. Again, to really passing like that Rabbeinu Ephraim, to really reject that the story, again, it's not a bad read of the Gemara. The din, the story came to cancel the din. Again, maybe because of what Yoni said before, of the fact that Rabbah did invite him and whatever, he didn't want to go. Whatever the reason is, most poskim lahalacha do not pass like that Rabbeinu Ephraim. However, I do think that most views, certainly among later poskim, are variations and forms of this middle approach. Yeah, a little bit more than usual, take the nap, don't take the nap, but again, I've been open, there definitely are poskim that seem to imply you got to drink a lot more than that, and that clearly is the minhag of yeshivas, but most poskim, again, if you want to really be true to the sources, I think are more in that middle approach. Now, why should that be? So I think the answer is really what I alluded to from the Pri Chadash, and in the pages of Shulchan Aruch, you have a quote of the Chai Adam. The Bir Halacha quotes the Chai Adam, and this, I can't remember, was it Austin, or somebody asked before about Marv or other mitzvahs, somebody asked that question before. Anyway, so the Chai Adam says as follows, listen, maybe there's a role of drinking and that's fine, but he says, a person has to be honest with himself, either in anticipation, or at very worst, based on experience. You have to know yourself. What do you think will happen when you drink, or what has happened when you drink? Says the Chai Adam, it cannot mean, could not have ever meant that Chazal gave you a mitzvah to drink if that meant that you would be violating other mitzvahs. What examples? The obvious ones, like you won't daven Maariv. How many people get so drunk that they don't end up davening? Lots. Says the Chai Adam, that cannot be what Chazal had in mind. You don't say brachos, wash until yadayim, or, I don't know if I'll call this better or worse, but in a more broader sense, you act like an animal, you talk in inappropriate ways, you behave inappropriately, and I include like throwing up at your Rebbe's house as inappropriate behavior, right? I'm saying these kind of things says the Chai Adam, not a Musar Sefer, not a Drush, says the Chai Adam, the Halacha. If you think or you know based on experience what will happen to you if you drink, it is usur for you to drink. That cannot be what Chazal meant. They did not mean that. If it leads to anything like that, it is preferable not to drink at all than that. Now you'll say, well, can I drink responsibly? The answer is, I don't know, can you? I think if you could, the Chayyadim would be fine with that. You know, whether again, if you can drink a lot and handle yourself, he'd probably be okay with that. And if you can't drink a lot and handle yourself, but you can drink one or two cups and handle yourself, he'd be fine with that. But it cannot be this idea that the halacha gives me that excuse one day a year to just go out of control, say chayarim, that never, lo hayav lo nivra, never was meant to be, that's not what it means. And it just, again, I'm not even getting to, you know, give someone your keys and things like that. And as you may know, unfortunately, I was a rabbi in Baltimore. Years before I got there, there was somebody who died because of drinking on Purim and driving. And Hatzalah has the number of accidents every year on Purim skyrocket more than the rest of the year. It is unquestionably a dangerous time if you don't know, if you're not responsible. And many, many people, can you forgive me, especially approximately your age, aren't responsible. Now, I think part of the responsibility lies with the adults who are or are not supervising, as the case may be. But clearly, says the Chayadim, and common sense should tell us that this cannot be. If the Chayadim is not contemporary enough for you, Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Sefer, which has his Piske Halacha, the Halicha Shlomo, where he is, again, I think Shai Chesed is not dealing with the same problems as Central Avenue or Bathurst or Cedar Lane and issues that we deal with in our communities, with whether it's adult or teenagers. Shlomo Zalman was living in a much more holy, calm neighborhood, maybe Shai Chesed. But even Shlomo Zalman, who wasn't worried about that, was worried about late sonos, just inappropriate behavior, people just acting wild. That's not what the mitzvah was entailing. So there's Shlomo Zalman. So Shlomo Zalman, in theory, would be happy if a person drank to the point of inebriation, if that led to what we saw before, an outpouring of Avas Hashem and Avas HaTorah and Avav Yerebeim and singing and dancing. Wonderful. But if it's going to lead to this other stuff, says Shlomo Zalman, obviously, that's usher, and that should not be done. A number of years ago, I don't know if this is written anywhere, but I remember seeing it on the internet. A number of years ago, I think there was a video that they put out, you probably could Google it on the internet, of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the venerated, very famous, I don't think he's 90 yet, but he's certainly over 80, Rosh Hashiva from Philadelphia, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, his oldest son, who also said he thinks nowadays it's also to get drunk. I don't know if in his yeshiva, in his own yeshiva they follow it or not, I'm not sure. I've certainly been in many yeshivas where they're drinking, and many yeshivas where they're giving the drink. And again, not just drinking, but like really, really, ooh. Okay, but again, it's one thing to paskin in a vacuum. It's another thing to see what's going on. I think that sometimes, as a community, sometimes there's, I'm sure you've heard this, maybe you've heard this every now and then, but sometimes you hear people say, the rabbis, the rabbanim, the rosh yeshivas, they're in the base medrash, they're in the ivory tower, we want them to be more in touch with the real world. Now, when we say this, we almost always mean, implicitly, if not explicitly, that if they would, they would be more makel. They would let us do more of what we wanted, But you have to realize, what the same thing, it could give and take away at the same time. Rabbanim should know what's going on in the world. But you have to realize that the more they know what's going on in the world, the more likely, or more possible at least, they may be more machmir. In other words, there are certain mitzvahs that might make sense to theory. Maybe even drinking in the proper context is appropriate. But again, it's not a question of anticipating, it's a question of experience. If you see that year after year, boy after boy, person after person, is leading to inappropriate, let alone dangerous things, so then you can't just say, but the Gemara says. You have to realize that clearly, those other things are clearly not what the Gemara meant. So that's basically the two or three shittas you have on the page of Shulchan Aruch and in the poskim. Again, given the emergence of, the tension between the Gemara and the story, the din, the different opinions in Rishonim on how to resolve that. Let's just mention two or three other things which are relevant, very, very relevant. What to drink and when to drink. Again, assuming that you're doing something, and again, other than a Ben or Ephraim and very few, again, the idea of having a cup or two of wine, even three if you can handle that. Again, I'm not going to give a number because I think that probably depends, but to have that, especially in the context of doing, singing and dancing and Paro Chagiga and stuff, I think it's the minhag of this yeshiva and many others that's acceptable. And again, it's done in the right spirit, is fine. But what to drink, when to drink, that is an important halakhic question. So both of these are debated. So first question is what to drink. So many poskim basically say whatever you want. Whatever you want. However, there are poskim who say that even if there's a mitzvah, it's dafka and only through wine. Now why should that be? Mecha tesi? Because they point out that if you look in this, we said, what's the whole purpose of drinking to begin with? Zecher l'neis, the stories in the Megillah. Sure, if you go back to the Megillah, what's mentioned about all those stories? Yayin. They were all drinking yayin. Sure enough, if you look at Rashi, on the Gemara Dav Zayin, when he talks about Chayav Yishlo Besumei, Rashi mentions Yayin, Rambam and Hilchos Megillah mentions Yayin. So there are poskim who say that if you're going to drink and there's a mitzvah, that it should dafka be wine. Other poskim say, really depends on what you enjoy. If you don't enjoy wine, you enjoy something else, you could drink that. I can't remember where I saw one sefer, I think it was yesterday, that said that, and this is something that we do know to be true in general, that the yayin, that the wine in the time of the Gemara, was much, much more than our wine. I don't know what proof it was, but it was certainly more concentrated and stronger and more alcoholic than our yayin. So I can't remember where I saw this, but somebody mentioned, I saw this yesterday, that given that the Gemara was talking about yayin, maybe the Gemara was, but the Gemara had in mind a certain level of strength of alcohol. You don't get that in yayin anymore. And therefore, that this post-lake was suggesting, if you prefer what we call harder liquors, that really would be in fulfillment of the spirit of the Gemara, because it had in mind a yayin, let me just get a little bit more in, a yayin that was not the kind of yayin that we have. So that seems to be a machlokes. So I personally am very, very partial from my Rebbeim that it really should only be with yayin. But again, I'm aware that in many yeshivas, they take a broader position, or shall I say, they're machmir for all the shitos. And just in case that there's a mitzvah to drink other things, some people are trying to be machmir for that. Last but not least, another question, which is when to drink. So this was, again, Rabbi Kaplan, the second version of his question, was discussing the mitzvah and how this relates to other mitzvahs of the day. So many poskim point out, their medayek, that this is a kiyum, not a mitzvah in its own right, but a kiyum in the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. Now, in the Gemara, you don't see that. The Gemara mentions the, you know, more or less freestanding, but certainly if you take a look at the Rambam, the halacha that the Rambam quotes in the mitzvah of Chayav Yishlo Besumei, is the very halacha he's already told us. There's a mitzvah to have Sudas Purim. And there's other examples of this as well. The Netziv and his commentary, Hamek Shela, his commentary to the Shiltos, the Netziv, that's written by Rav Achai Gaon. So the Netziv is Medayik, that the Shiltos also says this, like we're saying from the Rambam. And there are poskim who make this point as well, that whatever it is, even if you took the most extreme sheet in terms of how much to drink, but they say the only mitzvah is in the context of the Suda. Now, you could take a moderate approach and say, well, it doesn't have to be literally in the Suda, but it has to be at the very least when you could eat the Suda. When can you eat the Suda? The Gemara tells us, how we paskin? Only during the day. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim at night. You can only fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim during the day. So at minimum, if you accepted this idea, one thing for sure is there'd be no kiyum of drinking at the Chagiga. It might be a kiyum in fun, but not a kiyum in a mitzvah. Because if you hold it either has to be the Suda literally, or it has to be at least during the day. There are other poskim, again, to be fully transparent and intellectually honest, there are poskim who say, no, the Rama mentioned the Tamid Suda, but not really necessary. You could drink, you could drink any time. It's interesting that when the Rama quotes this idea of drinking a little bit and then going to sleep, it certainly sounds like he's not limiting it to the Suda at all. Now, he might be talking about Dafka during the day, but he's not limiting to the Suda. And in fact, as I mentioned, my Rebbe, Rabbi Willig, who is he's pretty dry on this topic. He's colorful in other areas, but he's dry in this area. Rabbi Willig who doesn't drink at all during the year, really. He'll unless there's a mitzvah, and there's only a few times a year there's a mitzvah, he'll drink a little wine, more than usual, and then he takes a nap. When does he do all this? Before the Purim Suda. So he's clearly not holding in that more extreme view that dafka has to be in during the Suda, but at least during the day. My personal hanhaga, for whatever it's worth, is that I definitely drink more than usual, because I don't drink at all during the year. I definitely drink more on Purim than I do on any other single day. But I've never, behind heart, never should happen, I've never gotten sick from drinking, because I haven't drank that much, not because I have a tolerance, because I don't drink that much. I've never done anything very obnoxious. You note the dagesh on vein. I've never done anything very obnoxious, and maybe a little bit obnoxious, and I try to be very, very responsible, even before I was a Rebbe and a father, but certainly now. And I also limit my drinking to the Suda. I do personally take that approach, that it's meant to enhance the Suda as part of our greater enhancement of the holiday, and not just as an excuse to drink at other times. But again, I'm being honest, clearly, in this yeshiva and broadly, There is a Masorah that is, you know, as I say, Machmir, that you could drink at night too. You know, it might be a mitzvah there, can't take a chance. As well as during the Surah. And again, the main thing which you see over and over again, you shouldn't need to see it in writing, but if you want, you can, over and over again from the poskim is, Echad amarba v'echad amamit u'bavad she'chaven libo l'shem shamayim. This is not our day or our excuse to pretend you're in a frat. That is not what the mitzvah had in mind. This is not our excuse to just be some high school kid gone wild. That is not clearly, it's not what Chazal had in mind, even before the modern dangers of drinking and driving or Purim being a gateway to larger alcohol abuse, which it probably also is for many kids. That's a whole separate issue, which makes it even more urgent. But just even trying to get into the mindset of Chazal, clearly they had in mind something elevated, something spiritual. And again, I have seen it, and I guarantee you, you will see it in this yeshiva on Purim. And I have seen it in yeshivas and in communities many times in my life, where people who are full of Torah, full of Abbas and Yerush Hashem all year, and they use certainly more drinking than they usually have to get themselves to even a higher, into a deeper level. It can be used in a very beautiful, meaningful way. We often, you know, for good reason, have a certain negative association, as I think we broadly should, with drinking and certainly with drunkenness. But again, it can be in the right environment, surrounded by the right people, done for the right reasons. It can be something that is positive, powerful, and you will see, probably from Rebbeim and kids in the next week, people doing just that. You have to know yourself. You do not want to do anything that will embarrass yourself, your family, the yeshiva, or that you will regret. If you, in the right mindset, in the right environment, feel that this is something that can really help you and break down barriers and help you, you know, I believe it. I've seen it happen, and it can. Be responsible, but be sincere. And if you're worried or you've had past experience, you know that it won't happen. Again, be responsible and be sincere. Okay, I'm happy to take any questions.